He walked out in the morning and took the river path downstream. The boy was right that it was a good place, and he wanted to check for any sign of other visitors. He found nothing. He stood watching the river where it swung, loping into a pool and curled and eddied. He dropped a white stone into the water, but it vanished as suddenly as if it had been eaten. He'd stood at such a river once and watched the flash of trout deep in a pool, invisible to see in the tea-colored water except as they turned on their sides to feed, reflecting back the sun deep in the darkness like a flash of knives in a cave. "We can't stay," he said. "It's getting colder every day, and the waterfall is an attraction. It was for us, and it will be for others. And we don't know who they'll be, and we can't hear them coming. It's not safe."
"We could stay one more day."
"It's not safe."
"Well, maybe we could find some other place on the river."
"We have to keep moving. We have to keep heading south."
"Doesn't the river go south?"
"No, it doesn't."
"Can I see it on the map?"
"Yes. Let me get it." The tattered oil company road map had once been taped together, but now it was just sorted into leaves and numbered with crayon in the corners for their assembly. He sorted through the limp pages and spread out those that answered to their location. "We cross a bridge here. It looks to be about 8 miles or so. This is the river going east. We follow the road here along the eastern slope of the mountains. These are our roads, the black lines on the map, the state roads."
"Why are they the state roads?"
"Because they used to belong to the states, what used to be called the states."
"But there's not any more states?"
"No."
"What happened to them?"
"I don't know exactly. That's a good question."
"But the roads are still there?"
"Yes, for a while."
"How long a while?"
"I don't know. Maybe quite a while. There's nothing to uproot them, so they should be okay for a while."
"But there won't be any cars or trucks on them?"
"No."
"Okay.
Are you ready?" The boy nodded. He wiped his nose on his sleeve and shouldered up his small pack, and the man folded away the map sections and rose, and the boy followed him out through the gray palings of the trees to the road. When the bridge came in sight below them, there was a tractor trailer, jackknifed sideways across it, and wedged into the buckled iron railings. It was raining again, and they stood there with the rain pattering softly on the tarp, peering out from under the blue gloom beneath the plastic.
"Can we get around it?"
the boy said. "I don't think so. We can probably get under it. We may have to unload the cart." The bridge spanned the river above a rapids. They could hear the noise of it as they came around the curve in the road. A wind was coming down the gorge, and they pulled in the corners of the tarp about them and pushed the cart out onto the bridge. They could see the river below them through the ironwork. Below the rapids was a railroad bridge laid on limestone piers. The stones of the piers were stained well above the river from the high water, and the shore of the river in the bend was choked with great windrows of black limbs and brush and the trunks of trees. The truck had been there for years, the tires flat and crumpled under the rims. The front of the tractor was jammed against the railing of the bridge, and the trailer had sheared forward off the top plate and jammed up against the back of the cab. The rear of the trailer had swung out and buckled the rail on the other side of the bridge and had hung several feet out over the river gorge. He pushed the cart up under the trailer, but the handle wouldn't clear. They'd have to slide it under sideways. He left it sitting in the rain with the tarp over it, and they duck-walked under the trailer, and he left the boy crouched there in the dry, while he climbed up on the gas tank step and wiped the water from the glass and peered inside the cab. He stepped back down and reached up and opened the door, and then climbed in and pulled the door shut behind him. He sat looking around. An old doghouse sleeper behind the seats, papers in the floor. The glove box was open, but it was empty. He climbed back between the seats. There was a raw, damp mattress on the bunk and a small refrigerator with the door standing open. A fold-down table. old magazines in the floor. He went through the plywood lockers overhead, but they were empty. There were drawers under the bunk, and he pulled them out and looked through the trash. He climbed forward into the cab again and sat in the driver's seat and looked out down the river through the slow trickling water on the glass, the thin drum of rain on the metal roof, and the slow darkness falling over everything.